Hi everyone, welcome back to the Aspiring Young Artists podcast. My name is Charlie.
And my name is Pablo.
And we are here with a very special guest, Mr. Connor Wells, the man, the myth, the legend. Hi Connor.
Hello.
How are you doing, mate?
I'm not too bad. I'm nice and toasty here in me office. I've got snacks and drinks all at the ready, so yeah, I'm all good, man.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. I know you've got a very hectic week.
Anytime, mate, anytime. It's a quiet day today. Usually I've got a busy Friday, but today's turned out to be quite quiet, so it's been nice and chill, so happy days.
Yeah. So we've got kind of three main groups of questions we're going to ask, kind of music-related ones, photography and video ones, and then podcasting ones from when you did your podcast. Nice. So, yeah, we're going to get into that. We're going to start off with some music-related questions. So, first of all, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, it's a bit odd to introduce myself. It's a bit strange. So, yeah, my name's Connor Wells. I am a man of many job roles and titles. So my sort of day-to-day job is I'm a photographer, videographer, video editor, and podcast producer. But I guess now, because of lockdown, on the side, I guess sort of musician and singer. So before the start of lockdown in 2020, I had like 150 odd gigs booked. So they all just got straight out the window because of lockdown. So yeah. Music has sort of been like a side hustle right now. So photography and you know, creative, all that sort of stuff is now like my main job, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So starting with some music questions, who would you say are your main inspirations in music?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'd say Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I just love like their simple like chord progressions. They're very, very nice, simple songs, really sort of good like storytelling, like lyrics. I just love Tom Petty. They're just great. Like you can proper like get like rocky with them, but they're also like pretty chilled. I like Simon and Garfunkel, Nick Drake. To be fair, I listen to anything. Like sometimes I could listen to slums like EDM music, and then suddenly I'll be listening to like pop punk, rock, alternative, like dreamy sort of chill stuff. It really, really varies.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to sort of try everything out, isn't it? So, Pablo, next question.
Next question, Connor. What kind of music did you grow up with?
Ooh, so I grew up with like a real like range of stuff. Like my mum would like listen to like stuff like Bob Marley, ABBA, all different like Simon and Garfunkel, all that sort of stuff. And then I slowly started like getting into that sort of stuff. So I was listening to like Bob Dylan, like again like Tom Petty and Nick Drake. And then I think back in 2009 maybe, I went to like my first gig. I went to see Guns N' Roses at the O2. It was a great gig, and it was actually like the first album I actually bought with like my own money. So I was doing like paper rounds pretty much every other day, and yeah, decided to buy Guns N' Roses' debut album with like my money, and that was like the first album I bought. So I was like really, really listening to that. I listened to loads of stuff when I was young.
Yeah, gotta love Guns N' Roses, to be honest.
Oh, mate, they're great. It was a great gig, but they turned up like on stage like an hour and a half late, so I had to like miss the last 10 songs.
It's fashionably late, isn't it?
It is. Like, there's loads of stories when he's turned up late. Like, sometimes he'll like get lost from the hotel. There was one story where the singer, Axl Rose, was late because he was watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So, I don't know what the excuse was for this one, but yeah, an hour and a half late, but worth it.
Yeah, so that's the kind of music you grew up with. So what kind of music do you listen to now?
I listen to a whole range. Let me get my Spotify up because my camera's in the way of my screen. So let's have a look at my recently played. So my recently played, bit of Stevie Nicks, then proper changing it up, going to KSI. I've been listening to a lot of KSI.
I can't deal with KSI.
Yeah. Tom Petty. I was listening to Sting yesterday as well, and then Taylor Swift. I was actually listening to Taylor Swift's latest two albums, which are absolutely class. Love them albums. So It's so varied. There's no like structure to what I listen to. Yeah. It's really like what I'm in the mood for.
No, I Taylor Swift's a bit of a guilty pleasure, I think.
Yeah, it is a guilty pleasure. I think like her last two albums, Folklore and Evermore, they just were so different to anything she's put out, and I just proper resonated, proper loved them albums.
She's had some sort of drama in the news recently, hasn't she?
She has. So yeah, she wanted to like buy her masters back from her old releases back when she was doing country music. And Scooter Braun, who is manager of Justin Bieber and a few other people, he sold the masters to a publishing company, which means if like she wants to do anything with her music, she has no control, no say over it. So she's having to like re-record her old albums. It's a shame.
Yeah, when I was looking at kind of music news stuff, it was just her and Britney Spears.
Yeah, Free Britney, Free Britney. Have you guys watched the documentary yet?
I haven't, no.
It's meant to be really good. I might watch it tonight, but I don't know.
No.
She came up on my For You page on TikTok, and it was like in the comments, it was like, Britney, wear a red shirt if you're okay.
Yeah, it's a proper like conspiracy. I've seen people like saying in the comments like blink repeatedly in your next TikTok if you're not safe, and then she'd be like doing videos where she'd be like blink like that. It's so weird.
Yeah, I mean she's never really had a stable career, has she?
No, I feel bad for her. I feel bad. It's a sad story, really sad.
It is, yeah. Pablo, this is your question, sorry.
I quite like this question. What are your favourite songs to play now?
Ooh, favourite songs to play now? I mean, I haven't done like a proper gig in about 4 or 5 months, so it's really weird. I'm very much out of practice. But back when I was like heavily gigging, you know, like every sort of Thursday to Sunday night, it would usually be my favourite song would be to play is Redbone by Childish Gambino. So I do like a little acoustic like loop pedal version, a few keys down, because I can't hit those notes that he can, but that was always quite a fun song to play, and like audience would always give it a good reception, because like half of them don't really understand what a loop pedal was, and they were wondering how does this sound so big with just one guitar. So yeah, I used to love playing Redbone or Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry. That's always a good one.
When I saw You Live, I think my favourite songs of yours were Save Tonight and, well, Britney Spears, like we were talking about.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I do Hit Me Baby One More Time. That's a guilty pleasure of mine. Yeah, I quite like that one. Forgot about that. It's been so long since I've done a gig. Like, I'm so out of practice.
Have you done one since that Eat Al Fresco in Town?
I don't think I have. I think it was announced so quickly. That was my last gig, and I didn't even realise it was my last gig. So yeah, that was probably it.
I actually loved doing that in town. It was kind of a...
Oh yeah, you did it as well, didn't you?
Sort of a relief. Yeah, I did it. People loved it. I got 250 quid off that.
Yeah, I know. That was amazing. I got like 150, but to be fair, the weather was like pretty bad that day, and the other days I was booked in for that, the weather was all pretty bad, so I never actually got to do them, and then lockdown was announced, so I'd never got to do them anyway. So I think that was my last gig, the farewell tour.
I saw one poor person doing it in the gazebo in the pouring rain. Really bad.
I had to buy an extension lead. I didn't realise how far everything was away, and I had loads of pedals to plug in, so I went to set up, realised the plug was too far away, and had to like pop to like some discount shop to get like a an extension lead. So I put the change for that in the guitar case to encourage people to give like tips and stuff.
So this is a question that we're hoping to ask all our music guests, which is what is your dream music collab, and where would your dream place be to perform it?
Oh, that's a shout. That's a proper shout. Dream music collab. See, it would have been Ryan Adams, but he's a little bit sus at the moment, so I'm going to avoid him. So it'll probably be like John Mayer, because I love John Mayer, because I love like his sort of more poppy stuff. I love his like old bluesy stuff, like with John Mayer Trio, with Steve Jordan and Pino Palladino, great bass player. Like, he is incredible bass player. So it'll probably be John Mayer. And venue, oh, that's a tough one. It'll probably be like Red Rocks in America. Like, whenever I see like concerts played and filmed there, it just looks amazing. Like you're looking up at the audience and they're all sort of like sloped down. It just it looks incredible. So that'll probably be my place.
Yeah, I mean, I love how Red Rocks is kind of so much more casual than like some kind of arena.
It does, yeah, and it's all outside and everything. Like, it just it's a different surrounding, different environment. It looks really, really cool.
Yeah, so that was all our kind of music related questions we had. So nice. Pablo, on to photography and videography.
So in terms of photography and videography, who are your main inspirations?
That's a shout. That's a good question. So I really got into it, I think we were chatting about it earlier, Charlie, on like my Instagram live. I really got into sort of the idea of photography and filming and just making videos by, I think it was like 2010 to like 2013, watching like early Casey Neistat. So I remember the day, like, it was like, I think it was like 31st birthday, he just said, I'm going to make a video, like a movie every day, and he started daily vlogging. And no one had ever done that before. So I was like, I'd wake up like every day ready for like Casey Neistat's vlog, seeing what he'd been up to. And then like I got into more people like Peter McKinnon and Matty Apoya, Lizzie Pierce, Chris Howe. Like, I watched all of them. So yeah, I really learned everything I've got there through them, and then just like toying around. So, but I think biggest inspiration is Casey Neistat, because he just has a way about him of like telling stories. So it's his production level of like YouTube vlogs was just above, like levels above everybody else. So yeah, probably Casey Neistat, biggest inspiration.
Yeah, he is great. And Peter McKinnon too, I started following him.
Oh, they're class. I miss Casey. He had a phase where he was like uploading every day back in 2020, and then now he's just disappeared again. He does that all the time. Yeah. He'll upload every day for a month and then just like disappear off the face of the earth. It's annoying. Mm.
Yeah, right, where are we? So that kind of linked into our next question of what made you start photography. That's photography, not videography. So yeah, what made you start photography?
So I got a camera. I think I got my first camera. It was a Nikon D5200. Proper low budget entry level camera. And I was in London one day. I was doing like some shopping. I was up and down Oxford Street. I went to like the HMV to get some stuff. And I just thought, you know, Oxford Street's really, really pretty around Christmas time. So checked my bank balance. Luckily, I didn't have any too many bills coming out. And I just thought, wandered into Jessop's when they were a thing, and I just bought a camera. And it sort of just took off from there. I was just like toying around with all like the different settings, taking pictures of anything I want. Then I was practicing like doing like self-portraits, and then practicing on like friends and family, dogs and all that sort of stuff. You got to do that. Got to get some good pictures of dogs. And then it took off like since there. Then I upgraded to a Nikon D5600 because it had like a nice little flip-out screen, and that was just a little step above what that camera was. And that's really when like my photography sort of took off, and I just started trying to like make a bit of money from it, and the rest carries on from here.
Yeah, I meant to be doing a dog shoot tomorrow.
I was meant to do one today, but they got ill.
I've got a very excitable Springer Labrador.
Nice.
Puppy.
Bring treats. That's trust me. Bring treats and something that squeaks. Because that's what when I photograph dogs, I'll like tape something to the top of the camera that like squeaks. So when I'm going to take a photo, you can squeak something, they look at the camera, and then you can get the picture.
That's quite a cool idea, actually. I quite love that.
It's a good one. Little good photography hacks.
I've got cats, so we've probably got some kind of toy.
The next question is, what made you start videography?
So
we've sort of gone over that.
So when I started videography and making videos, just sort of like vlogging and just sort of saying whatever sort of come to my mind on like my YouTube channel. And then, yeah, just I realized like when I upgraded to my second camera, the D5600, it had video features as well. Now, it weren't the best. The autofocus would just sort of like hunt back and forth. Like half my videos were out of focus just because I hadn't set it up properly. And I just wanted to progress to the next step, because I'd say videography is a lot harder than photography, particularly when it comes to the editing side. So
yeah.
I just thought I might as well like branch out and try videography as well as photography, because that's sort of like two different things under my belt. And if I can make a bit of money doing those things, that's great. And then little did I know that it would become my full-time job. So that's sort of where that progressed.
Yeah. Okay, next question on our list is, what would be your dream camera?
Oh, mate, you know me too well.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't necessarily have to be a real camera.
It doesn't have to be a real camera.
You could make up your own camera.
Some, like, dream specs, do you mean?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, do dream specs.
Dream specs, okay. So, full frame. Has to be full frame.
Yeah.
4K. I think 8K is a little bit overkill for the time being. With the new Sonys and the Canons, I think no one's going to be filming too much in 8K unless you're like Marques Brownlee. But yeah, something up 4K up to 120 fps, no overheating. I think flip out screen, none of this like flip up screen or flip down screen. I can't be dealing with that. I've got to be able to like see myself. So yeah, flip out screen. Reliable autofocus. No overheating. Weather sealed would be good. And
no time limit.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, mate. You know, no record limits. I'm sick of the half an hour record limit. It sucks. It does my head in. And none of this 29:59 record limit. That just gets in the way so much. So yeah, unlimited record time. That would just be class.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would be your dream camera in terms of cameras that are actually real?
I think the C70, that's recently come out. It's Canon's first RF mount cine camera, and from what I've seen in the reviews, I'm hopefully pre-ordering one. It's still on pre-orders at the moment, so I'm hopefully going to pre-order one in a couple of months. So I'd say the C70, because you got like four inputs for like audio and mics and stuff. You got 4K up to 120 frames a second. It's a Super 35 sensor, so it looks proper like cinematic. It's already like cropped in with like, you know, when you're watching things and it's got like the black bar, so it's already got that sort of format there. Great autofocus, no record limit, which is great. So, and it's small form factor, so it's got like, it's sort of like a big like 1DX Mark II or 1DX Mark III. So it's not like a big massive like cinema camera. It's like proper like small size. So I'd probably go for that at the moment.
All right, nice. Got one more photography question. That's Pablo's. So.
Far away.
And so, where did you start in photography?
Where did I start? I think I've pretty much started like just doing like self-portraits, and then I'd like start posting on my Instagram like just random photos that I took. I then started like offering like bands and friends if they need like headshots and something for like their Instagram, and then just started like making connections to like local businesses. So a video that hopefully I'm going to be doing like next lockdown, like after it's over, is I'm going to be going to like local businesses and offering them free photo shoots, because there's definitely a lot of value in free, because sometimes I'll get like clients like approach me and I'm saying like, okay, is this going to be like a long-term thing, or is this just like a one-off shoot? So if it's going to be like a long-term thing, I'll just like say, I'll do the shoot for free. I'll do some photos for Instagram for free, and then they'll just like continually book me. And so I'm gonna hopefully like make a video just going around to like local businesses and Hitchin, just offering them free like free photo shoots. So I think it's sort of like progressed from there. It's a hard one to answer, but it really took off like unexpectedly. Like when I first got into it, it was very much like a side hustle, and then lockdown was announced and I was still working in nurseries, so I thought either I can wait for like lockdown to like finish and go back to a job that I'm not too keen on, or I could just like take a risk, quit my job the day before lockdown and go in to pursue photography, videography, and all that sort of stuff. And I did, and it thankfully paid off, which is pretty handy because I've got a very expensive mortgage to pay.
That must have been like a massive decision.
Oh, it was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely worth it. You just got to get rid of that fear of like risk and stuff, because it's definitely worth it.
Yeah. This isn't a question that we have on our magic list of questions, but what would you say to people who want to kind of grow their photography or their music, their kind of their portfolio? How would you say is the best way to do that?
So I definitely think there's no such thing as perfect. So there's definitely, I'd say good enough is better than perfect, because nothing is going to be perfect. You're going to take a photo and think, oh, this is probably like the best picture I've done. But you'll also look at it like, oh, I wish I shot it like that, or it's too overexposed, it's underexposed, or oh, the white balance is off. So just get into your head that there's no such thing as perfect. So just strive, just keep going. Like the best, like I always say to people, the best camera you've got on you is the camera that you've got in your pocket. So if people like can't afford a camera, just use your phone, because there's so many times where I've just taken a photo and people will be like, oh, that's great, what camera do you shoot at? And I was like, my phone. So just keep practicing, really. You learn new techniques, you learn new styles, watch tutorials on YouTube. I always say, don't buy like a photography course. You don't need university, you don't need like a degree in photography. You can get it all online on YouTube, like 5 top tips for photographers and all that stuff. Don't, like, that's one thing I'm fully like against. Don't buy like a course, don't go to university, because it's just money down the drain. Just practice at home, with your friends, and just keep creating.
That's a good answer, actually.
Yeah, I never went to like photography school. I've never had like a lesson or a masterclass or anything. I've literally just like toyed around, looked back at my work, critiqued my work. I'm very like heavily like critical of myself. I think as every creator is, we're like heavily critical. So I'll just like learn from your mistakes that you make. So there'll be like a shoot where, you know, I think, oh, the shutter speed could have been higher, or, you know, I shouldn't have shot this like wide open. I could like crank the aperture a little bit lower. Everything's not in focus as it should be. It's not sharp. So I just sort of learn from mistakes from each job and each shoot that I do. And if you're just starting out, that's all you can really do. Like, learn from your mistakes and just keep going and getting that like 1% better every day.
Yeah. That's really good advice. If you're trying to get into photography, all you need to do is head over to the Connor Wells YouTube channel.
Exactly. Little plug.
So that's all our kind of photography photos. So on to kind of podcasting. This is kind of your podcast producing, and when you did the Young Broke Musicians podcast, what was it like running your own podcast?
It's good. It's a lot of work. Like, I'm sure you guys know, like editing and uploading, promoting and all that sort of stuff. It's a lot of work. Like, people, like, I don't want to like put people off doing a podcast, because doing a podcast is great. But when it comes to like, I always wanted to do like a video podcast, because obviously you can send it out to like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, I don't know who uses it, but Deezer and all that sort of stuff. So I generally don't know anybody who uses Deezer, but you can send it to all the audio platforms. But YouTube is the second biggest search engine after Google. Like, if you want to learn how to do something, I probably type it into YouTube over Google. So I always wanted to do a video podcast, but I didn't realize how much work it would be. So editing each podcast would take about 8 hours. Like, obviously, like color grading, clipping, getting all the like the thumbnails, promoting it, uploading it. So like the total time would take about 8 hours work. So that's pretty much an entire day. So I don't want to I sound like I'm putting everybody off. Don't do a podcast, it takes too long. But it is a lot of work, but it's really great, because it's sort of, you can just chat about whatever you want. You're not allowed to swear on this, are you? So I was about to say something else there, but you can literally just like chat about whatever you want, really. Like, but I'd say find your niche. So if you want to talk about business, if you want to talk about investment, if you want to talk about, I know, like Bitcoin, like photography, music, and all that sort of stuff, like talk about that. Find your niche and really like sort of like narrow down of what you want to talk about. But doing a podcast is just absolutely class.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really fun. I suppose in lockdown as well, it's harder to do it, but you can do it like we're doing it on a call right now.
Exactly.
Kind of, because we don't have that social aspect at the moment, so doing a podcast is kind of a great way to...
Yeah, that's the benefit of it. You don't have to be in person to do it. You can do it like over Zoom, you can do it over Discord, you can literally like do it over the phone and just both record your parts and then just sync it up in the edit. So it's less restrictive as compared to like lockdown and doing like actual video like interview things. So doing a podcast is just great.
This is an epic question, Charlie. The thing on the bullet point just says the Rodecaster Pro.
The Rodecaster Pro. I'm using it right now. Let's move the camera and I'll show you. So it's currently sat down there on a chair because my desk isn't big enough for it at the moment. But I love the Rodecaster Pro. I've done like a whole bunch of videos talking about it. It's generally like my favourite bit of tech that I bought. Like when I bought it, I got help from a sponsor as well, which was pretty nice. So big up Simon and for sponsoring that. So I bought four of these mics, the RodePod mics, four stands. Four headphones and then the Rodecaster Pro on four cables as well. So it wasn't cheap, but I highly recommend like people get one if they want to start a podcast, because if it's just audio, all you really need to do is like top and tail it. If you can do like a podcast in one take, all you need to do is like trim the start, trim the end, and then you can just straight and go and upload. You don't even need to edit any of the audio. It's got like condenser, big bottom oral exciter in there. It's great. You can take phone calls for it, you can add like sound effects, so you can add like laughs. I don't know if you can hear this, but you can add laughs, like claps and applause.
Yeah, you can hear that.
You can add any sound to it. It's great. So and it's really versatile. You can use it for like live streaming. I actually ended up recording a song through it. It's a really good bit of kit. And I've heard rumours through my sources at Rode that they are making like a smaller version, like a more compact, like travel version. So I may be interested in that.
Yeah, I thought that video you did on the making a song for it was really interesting.
Yeah, I didn't even realise. There's a lot of challenges because it doesn't have like reverb and like it's not designed for that. But I was like pleasantly surprised with the results.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, our next question. Looking at the wrong thing there for a minute. What made you want to start your own podcast?
I think because, one, I needed something to do in lockdown. Because obviously I couldn't really go out and film during that time. Luckily, I found out like podcasts and production could still continue. So I could still like go out and film that. Most of my clients weren't sort of comfortable with doing the filming, so they'd just film it themselves and I'd edit it and send it off. So I needed something to do with my time. So I thought, you know, young broke musicians, we were young broke musicians, particularly in... Sorry, I just got a pop-up from from Zoom there. So we literally were young broke musicians because lockdown, like no gigs, so yeah, completely broke. So we just wanted to chat about, you know, everything that was going on with music, whether it be like music news, like stuff we've learned from gigging, advice for people who want to like get into gigs, and yeah, just really like talking all things music. And plus, yeah, it just kept me busy during lockdown doing like all the editing and stuff. So yeah, I think that's the inspiration behind it.
I think that was kind of what did it for us to start ours. We literally had nothing to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we've got couple more questions, Pablo. It's your turn.
So this is the second last question. What is your favorite podcast to listen to?
Oh mate, that's a big question. I listen to so many podcasts. When you edit and film and do photos as much as I do, you have an unlimited supply of podcasts. But if I had to like narrow it down to like five, I'd say Jack Mate's Happy Hour. That's great. Love Jack Mate's Happy Hour. Same Brain with I Justine and her sister, whose name slips my mind. That's two. The What's Good podcast. That's a great one. That's with Randolph and Phineas. Randolph and Minnie Minter. Number five. Oh, it's got to be Joe Rogan. like, love Joe Rogan. Like, I just recently listened to his, like, 3-hour long episode of Elon Musk. He just gets, like, the best guests. Like, one day you'll be like, he'll be chatting, like, to Elon Musk, or he'll do, like, an MMA episode, or he'll be chatting to, like, Bob Lazar about aliens. So, yeah, just the proper, like, variety of guests and podcasts that I listen to.
Yeah, right. One more question. What advice would you give to the people starting their own podcast?
Advice for starting your own podcast. Don't worry too much about gear. You can record a podcast with your phone. You can record a podcast with your headphones. Like, if you've got, like, the headphones with, like, the speaker thing on there, you can record it through that. Just talk about what you're passionate about. If you can talk about what you enjoy without getting sick of it, start a podcast about it. If you want to talk about everything you know about, I don't know, trains or the Titanic, make a podcast about it. If you can talk about it so much that your friends get sick of it, that means you're passionate about it. So, yeah, talk about and do it on something that you're incredibly passionate about.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a podcast market for literally anything.
Oh, absolutely. There's only, like, that's some really, I think, good advice. Currently there's 850,000 podcasts, like active podcasts, where if you compare that to YouTube channels, there's like 5 million, 6 million or something YouTube channels. So it still sounds like a lot, but compared to like YouTube channels and blogs, it's an incredibly small market. So I think jump on audio and podcasts is definitely the right time to.
Yeah.
So one last thing before we end the episode or Zoom cuts us off.
Yeah.
Just plug all your social medias.
So I sometimes post on Facebook. So you can find me on Facebook, Connor Wells. It's the one with the blue tick. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, which is at CJW_HQ. I'm not on Clubhouse because Clubhouse is too addictive and people spend too much time on it. And again, on my YouTube channel, Connor Wells, I think I upload every Monday and occasionally on a Friday. So, yeah, those are my platforms. Oh, and ConnorWells.com as well, my website.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for coming on. It's been great. You can follow us on our Instagram is at Aspiring Young Artist Podcast, as is our YouTube. We'll see you all next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.